Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Lamed. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zichron Ishmas Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. Chav Teslam Advais is where we're found. We're in the right in the middle of the Amud. We are analyzing the opinions of Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan regarding a Bor Birshus Rabim. Now we know that the Torah makes a person liable for digging up a pit in the middle of the street. Somebody else is going to fall in the pit and damages are going to occur. So that's the Pasuk in Chumash. That's in Parshas Mishpatim. And there is liability for creating a Bor. But what if you make a Bor Birshus Rabim and you're mafkir it? You declare it to be ownerless. So are you going to be chayv? Are you going to be potter? So we know the conclusion is you're going to be chayiv. That is the conclusion. However, the Gemara is going to spend some time, the rest of yesterday's daf, which we're going to finish up right now, deliberating this topic of whether or not a person's going to be liable for digging a pit in a Rishus Rabim, and by extension of that, basically leaving any hazard in the Rishus Rabim and declaring it ownerless. So are you going to be liable or are you going to be exempt? Chayiv or putter? So this is the discussion we had yesterday. We had a machlok between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. So let's begin. Let's start again from the machlok between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. We are on Chavtes Amid Beis. And we'll start with Tistayim. Tistayim is about a third of the way down on the Gemara. The first word on the line is Mechayve. And so after presenting a machlok between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan on whether a person is going to be liable for digging a pit in the Rishus HaRabim and leaving it ownerless, and for that matter, any item, so the Gemara says, Tistayim to Rav Elazar Udam or Chayev. So let's conclude that it's Rav Elazar who says that you're going to be Chayev. Damer Rav Elazar Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, because Rav Elazar quotes the name Rabbi Shmuel. Shnei Dvar Meinam Berishus HaShadam, two things in this world that you do not own, Va'asam HaKasuf Kilo Hen Berishuso. And yet the Torah treats it as if you own it. And they are Ve'elohim Bor Birshus Rabim V'chametz Mishesh L'mala. Mishesh Shos L'mala. So the two things that you don't own and yet you're going to have full liability for them are going to be, number one, pit in the public domain. You dig up a pit in the public domain, it's not yours. The pit's not yours, it's a public's. So, and meanwhile, any damage that occurs in that pit is going to be your liability. So you see clearly that even though you don't own it, you're going to be liable. Now, this is Rav Elazar quoting Rabbi Shmuel. So, it seems to be pretty straightforward, although later in the daf, we're going to suggest that maybe Rav Elazar doesn't subscribe to this viewpoint. But right now, for our purposes, it seems pretty clear that according to Rav Elazar, subscribing to Rav Yishmael's viewpoint, you're going to be liable for a pit even though you don't own it. And, parenthetically, the Gemara says the second thing you don't own and yet you're going to have full liability is Chametz on Pesach. You don't own Chametz on Pesach. Now, you don't own Chametz on Pesach because Chametz on Pesach, what is it? It's right now, it's nothing. Meaning Rashi, Ein Chametz Bereshuso, De'isei Eser Bahana. So Rashi notes over here, you don't own it because, we've mentioned this yesterday, you don't own it because it doesn't have any value. Meaning, how can you own something that has no value? Chametz on Pesach, aser b'achila, you're not allowed to eat it. Aser b'ana, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So if there is something out there in the world that you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to benefit from, so what kind of ownership can you have in that item? Certainly sounds like from Rashi that once an item's value goes down to zero, de facto, you no longer become the owner of that item. Fine. And the Chiddush in the Torah is, okay, but meanwhile, if you quote-unquote claim that you own the Chametz on Pesach, so now you're going to be liable of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. We know one of the three Surah Chametz on Pesach is ownership. How do you define ownership on Pesach? And the answer is, the Torah defines ownership on Pesach. The Torah says, once you have Chametz on your property, it's yours, even though from a value standpoint it's zero, nevertheless it's yours. Fine. So these two statements of Rabbi Shmuel, quoted by Rav Elazar, certainly gives the indication that according to Rav Elazar, you're chayiv for a bor b'rishus rabim, even though you don't own it. Tosa tistayin. So the Gemara says, fine. Conclusion. Meaning, sounds like we're in the right track. Meanwhile, continues the Gemara, Omimar Rav Elazar hachi, this is where we left off yesterday, this is now, for us, new ground. So the Gemara says, is this Rav Elazar's viewpoint? Rav Elazar, we are going to be learning this in the Mishnah on today's daf. You're leaving out excrement in the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, and back then, as it is the case now, fertilizer. It's wonderful. Okay, it's a foul in odor, but it actually serves as a fertilizer. It has a purpose. So, So now, you find dung in the Rishus HaRabim, and you look at it, and you pick it up. And then you put it back down. V'huzak bahem acher. and somebody else now trips on it. So it was a hazard that was left in the Rishos Rabbim, obviously by somebody else. You picked it up, you put it back down again. So the Mishnah says Chai Benisco. So you're going to be you, the one who, for whatever reason, curiosity or unclear why exactly you did it, and we're going to try to clarify in just a moment, but you picked it up, you put it back down again, so you're the one who's going to be liable. So Rav Elazar says, okay, but let's go over this Mishnah, and let's be a little bit more detailed about this Mishnah. This is now Rav Elazar's comment on the Mishnah. Yes, you, the person who picked up the excrement and put it back down again, yes, you're going to be liable. But lo shanu ela shenizkav lazachus behem. That's only if you, when you picked it up, you had the intent to be zocha. And again, why'd you put it back down again if you had the intent to be zocha? Unclear. But at least this is the case in which we're talking about. Aval nizkav lazachus behem potter. But if you did not have intent on being zocha, so then you're going to be potter. Alma. So what do you see from the statement of Rav Elazar on that Mishnah? What you see very clearly is Mafkin Azaka Potter, that if you leave something in the Rishus Rabbim, so you're going to be exempt, because that's exactly what Rav Elazar is saying. You picked up the dung, you had no intention of owning it. Again, why'd you pick it up? I can't explain. But you picked it up, you put it back down. Again, Rav Elazar says, okay, but because you're not the owner of it, therefore you're not going to be liable. So the Gemara says, Am Rav Ada Brava, Sheikh Zurlim Kama. So Rav Ada Brava says, you misunderstood Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar is not talking about a case where you picked the dung up and you moved it to another location, the Rishos HaRabim. Rav Elazar is talking about, and only talking about, a case where you picked it up right from the spot in which it was in, and you put it back down right in the spot in which it's in. In that very limited case, Rav Elazar will tell you you're a potter, because it was a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim, and you didn't move it, and you didn't intend on acquiring it. And so therefore, basically, now what you probably could and should have done, as long as it was in your hand, is you should have taken away from the Rishos HaRabim, so nobody else slips on and falls. But if you didn't change the condition of the hazard, so therefore you're not going to be liable. And it's only in that circumstance that Rav Elazar will tell you potter. I'm Ravina Mashal de Rav Ada Brav Alamad. So the Gemara says, so let's go over a mashal. Meaning, this idea that there was a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim, and I didn't change the status quo of it, I didn't improve it, I didn't make it any worse, I'm not going to be liable. The Gemara says, I'll give you a mashal. So, Lamotzi Bor Megula V'Chisav V'Chasav V'Gilahu. So let's say there was a Bor Rishos HaRabim, and you go over to the pit in the Rishos HaRabim, and you cover it. Okay, good. Congratulations, you did a good thing. And then v'chazav v'gilah, but then you uncovered it. So now, basically, if we just looked at the second part of what he did, he uncovered a pin in the Rishos HaRabim. But he found it there uncovered. So what did he do? He covered it and then he uncovered it. So really, after all of his actions, we were back to where we started. So under those circumstances, the Gemara now is suggesting that, not suggesting, saying, that that person is going to be exempt, even though he uncovered a pin in Rishos HaRabim. So Amalei Marzur Shabrei de Rav Mari LeRavina Midami Hasam Lo Istalak Luhum Maisa Rishon Hachi Istalak Luhum Maisa Rishon. So the Gemara says, I'm not really sure this is going to be a fair comparison. The
The analogy is kind of like if you take an object and just put it down, you haven't done any work.
Right. Right. So the Gemara says, I don't find this analogy to be good at all. Because in the case of the pit, you literally didn't change the pit whatsoever. Meaning all you did, you put a cover on the top, and then you took off the cover. But in terms of the pit, though, you didn't actually manipulate the pit whatsoever. So there, literally, you changed nothing. In the case of the gala, in the case of the dung, you picked it up, it was in your hand. So the Gemara says, I could really see a difference between these two cases. So the Gemara says, if you want to give me an analogy, I'll give you an analogy. And my analogy would go like this. You found a pit in the Rishos HaRabim. You filled up the pit, and then you dug it up again. So now, so now once you filled the pit up again, so now there's no pit anymore. In other words, historically now, you've erased the pit. And once you dug it up again, that's now your pit, meaning that's going to have your name attached to it, and you're going to be the one liable and responsible for that pit. So the same thing over here. You pick the dung up in your hand. It's in your hand now. Now you put it back down again. That's you. And that doesn't go back to the original person. So the Gemara says, if anything, I think that once the dung is up in your hand, even if you had no intent on acquiring it, and you put it back down again, of course you're going to be liable. Ela meravashi kishahavcha lepachos mishlosha. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to even further limit Rav Elazar's halacha. Again, Rav Elazar is saying that the Mishnah talking about a case where the dung was in the Rosh Hashanah, you picked it up, you put it back down again, you're going to be exempt. And basically, Rav Elazar and what we're doing with Rav Elazar is significantly limiting the extent of this law. It's going to be a scenario in which you don't pick it up above 3 tefachim. You pick it up below 3 tefachim. So you basically got just a little bit of air between the dung and the ground. And then you flip it over and that's it. Now again, what the guy's motivation is, I have no earthly idea. Okay, let the guy satisfy his curiosity in life. But what we're learning together right now is it's not a significant enough act where now the dung could be ascribed to the guy who picked it up, because he didn't pick it up above 3 tefachim. Or my duke the Rav Elazar looked me kagon shafchal afachos migemol v'tam dechin neskav lazakus ba in neskav lazakus ba lo look me lamala migemol v'afgav neskav lazakus ba chayev. So the Gemara says now what we're really doing is we're really forcing a pshat within Rav Elazar that the only case you're going to be exempt is when you pick it up below 3 tefachim. Meaning that's why are we doing all this? So the Gemara says Amar Rava masisa kashise. So Rava says I'll tell you why. What's really motivating Rav Elazar is the language of the Mishnah. Ma'ir yahafach. Because if you look carefully at the Mishnah, what is the verb that's used in the Mishnah? Hafach, which means to turn over, flip over. Why would the Mishnah use that language? Lisni higbia. Why does the Mishnah use a simpler language? Of he lifted the dung up in the air. Why? Flip it over. So the Gemara says it must be that the word hafach is like flip. Just that's it. Meaning that he picked it up but not so high just to flip it over again. I don't know why. But the point is that in that very insignificant act and only in that very insignificant act, he doesn't acquire the dung. He's not going to be responsible / liable for any subsequent damages that it causes. But once he picks it up, even if he does not have intent on acquiring it, and he puts it back down again, congratulations, that belongs to him. It doesn't belong to him, but the liability now belongs to him. Okay. Where are we at right now in the Gemara? So we had a machlokes to Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. One said that leaving something ownerless in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is liable. The other says you're not liable. And where are we right now after this entire discussion of Rav Elazar and the dung? We seems pretty clear that according to Rav Elazar, even if you declare something ownerless in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but if you put it there, that's your liability. Now the Gemara says, fine. Where does that leave Rav Yochanan in this whole discussion? Well, he's got to be on the other side of the debate. So the Gemara says, now that puts Rav Yochanan on the side of being pater. Gemara says, I cannot believe that that's true. We're going to see this Mishnah later as well, and without going into details right now, because we're going to see the Mishnah later on, basically, if you drop hazards in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you're not the owner of these items, you're still going to be liable. That is a Mishnah. Now, the Amar Rav Yochanan lo shana lo ben mafriach v'am mitzamtzim poter. Now, on this Mishnah, Rav Yochanan says, this is only when all these hazards were right up a buttressing the side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But let's say you put all these hazards recessed into your property. And so, and it's clear where the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim ends and where your property line begins. And all these hazards now were recessed in your property, so then you're going to be exempt if anyone damages themselves. So the Gemara says, "Mitzam say my time a pater la mishum dehavile bor brishuso." So the Gemara says, "Well, the reason why is because it's on your property." Now, michlal. So we're going to now learn an inferential point. And that is the following. So, that if we were to take the same case of just random hazards that are not in your property, but in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, not owned by you, you're going to be liable. So, by inference, what we're basically saying that is according to Rav Yochanan, leaving hazards in the Rishus Rabbim, even though they don't belong to you anymore, you're going to be liable for them. So now, where are we? We're now holding that Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan are both of the opinion that leaving items ownerless in the Rishus HaRabim and their hazards, and someone damages, you're going to be liable. But the way this whole discussion started is that we're having a debate between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, and now both of them are on the side of Yerchayev. So the Gemara suggests, so the Gemara says, well, maybe our inferential point was not correct. Maybe the truth of the matter is that even if these hazards in the Rishus HaRabim and declared ownerless, you would be exempt. Now, if that's true, then let's talk about the case in the Mishnah where Rav Yochanan explains the items were recessed into your property and you're going to be exempt. Mishum de'id marlam, ravacha, b'reid ravika, lefishen darkam, shal b'nei adam lizchachek b'ksalim. So the Gemara says, it's a fair expectation that if you have a wall right up against the Rishus HaRabim, no one's going to be walking up against your wall. So that is a fair expectation, and maybe that's the point that Rav Yochanan wanted to highlight from the Mishnah, but having nothing to do with the inference of what if the hazards were left out in the Rishus HaRabim, what if they were not. Well, Mi'amar Rav Yochanan Hachi, but Gemara says that after all said and done, look, it's going to be very clear that Rav Yochanan holds that you're a chayiv for leaving ownerless items in the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara says, consider. V'hamar Rav Yochanan, halachik is ta Mishnah. First of all, the Gemara says time and again that Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that if Rav Yehuda Anasi writes a Mishnah anonymously, that is because the halacha follows the anonymous Mishnah. And the Gemara quotes an anonymous Mishnah. Vitzanan, hachofer bor b'rishos ha-rabim v'nafal asoch ha-shor ha-mor u-meis chayav. That if you dig a pit in the Rishos HaRabim, now, you certainly do not own it. It's clear. And meanwhile, somebody's animal falls into that pit, you're going to be liable. That is a Stam Mishnah. El alolam Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev. So the Gemara says, fine. We have nowhere else to go but to conclude that according to Rav Yochanan, ownerless items that you left out in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be liable for. And so therefore, now where does that leave us? We know there's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, but meanwhile, Rav Yochanan clearly says that you're Chayev. Rav Elazar, as we've spent the beginning of this morning discussing, says that you're chayev. So we're right now a little bit stuck because we think there's a machlokas, but meanwhile, we know what both of their opinions are. So the Gemara now finishes up the whole discussion. So the umid Rav Yochanan amar chayev, Rav Elazar amar pater. So it must be that Rav Yochanan says you're chayev, Rav Elazar says you're pater, v'hamar Rav Elazar mishum Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara says, yeah, but what about Rav Elazar quoting Rabbi Yishmael? Remember, that's where we started this morning, that there are two things you don't own, and meanwhile, you're going to have full responsibility for. One of those two things are bor b'rishos harabim. So the Gemara says, lokashi adidei hadarabe. So the Gemara says, fine. Rav Elazar's quoting Rabbi Yishmael, but that doesn't necessarily mean he subscribes to his viewpoint. Meaning, Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that you're chayev bor b'rishos harabim, but Rav Elazar would not necessarily agree. And okay, so just to figure out this puzzle, so we had for the most of the discussion, we had ourselves believing that Rav Elazar held that bor b'rishos harabim that has no owner, you'd be chayev. And the Gemara now has concluded, no, that's Rav Yochanan's position. That bor b'rishos harabim, or for that matter, any hazard in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be responsible for if you're the one who deposited there. And now we know that Rav Elazar disagrees, and the Rabbi Shmuel that Rav Elazar quoted, which obviously siding with Rav Yochanan, is not Rav Elazar's own personal viewpoint. We're on the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Let's continue. Ashofech Mayim B'Rishus HaRabim. Now this Mishnah should sound awfully familiar. In fact, it's pretty much a repeat of the previous Mishnah. And you know the Gemara is going to ask the question, why do I need two Mishnayos? So, Ashofech Mayim B'Rishus HaRabim. So if I were to spill water in the Rishus HaRabim, and then somebody just slips right on the water that I spill into the Rishus HaRabim, Chayiv Ben Isko, you are liable for the damages caused. If, let's say, I take coats and zechuchis, little thorns, little pieces of glass, really hazardous material, and I put them away. Now, when the Mishnah says put them away, it doesn't necessarily mean put them away somewhere safe. It just simply means I let them out somewhere in the I put them in the Rishus Rabim. If a goyder's gedra becoats them, or let's say I build a fence made up of thorns. Okay, fencing. Sometimes the fence is screaming, don't even come close here. So this kind of fence made up of thorns is that kind of fence. Where basically, not only do I not want you on my property, I don't want you near my property. Or let's say it was a regular fence, but the fence fell down, and now the materials of the fence are sitting there in the Rishos Rabim. In all of these cases, and somebody else slipped on them and hurt themselves, so Chayvin is kind because you introduced all these items into the Rishas Rabim, therefore you're going to have full liability for all these items.
Regarding pouring water, what can you argue that the water being poured, it can be evaporate and get absorbed, and it's actually similar to giving you hot cold it's going to go out on its own.
The Gemara is going to comment on the water. Now it's going to be pretty much the same comment the Gemara made the first time we've introduced this topic of water in the Rishos HaRabim. We'll see. Your Gemara is going to pretty much touch on your point. Amarav loshanu ala nitfo kelav b'mayim. Now the Mishnah clearly ascribes liability to the person who poured water into the Rishos HaRabim. On that, Rav says, yes, that's true, but liability not for bodily damage, but only for damage to your clothing. Avahu atzmo pater. Karka olam hiskiso. And the reason why is because, and Rav said this already once before, second time we're learning this, seeing the statement of Rav, when you pour water into the Rishos HaRabim, and someone slips on the water, now if they damage their clothing, so I understand, because the clothing was damaged by the actual water itself. In other words, the assumption right now is that the clothing got dirtied by the water. Fine. I have to pay the dry clean bill. That part I get, says Rav. But in terms of any bodily damage, he's not going to be chayav. Why? Because what did the bodily damage? See, the water caused them to slip. But what caused the bodily damage is the ground. The ground caused the bodily damage. Now you'll say, but wait 1 second. He wouldn't have slipped had I not put the water right there. And you'd be right. But in terms of halacha, this is what's called gurama. And gurama benizikin is pater. It's usher to do, I always try to be as clear as possible on these points. It is absolutely prohibited what you're doing, but in terms of financial liability, you're only financially liable for direct damage that's caused by you. So because this is indirect, so therefore you're going to be exempt from having to pay. This is the opinion of Rav. Amle Ravuna le Rav lo yehi ela kirivsho. So the Gemara says, I disagree. When you pour water into the ground, so basically what you're doing is you're creating mud. And so your argument was, well, it's not your water that did the damage, it was the ground that did the bodily damage. The Gemara says, not necessarily. When you're pouring the water into the ground, so basically you're creating mud. It's an interesting point the Gemara is about to make. The mud belongs to you, meaning that the water is certainly yours. And previously what Rav was assuming was, well, there's the water and then there's the ground. And what the Gemara now is trying to argue is, well, once you have water and ground mixed together, that's mud, and the compound water and earth, meaning the mud, so that's going to be yours.
Right.
I understand. Here, the kinyana may not need to be so formal, in that really we're just talking about liability. So, but your point is still very good. I'm more on your side than on my side of this issue, and it's hard to understand this as a kinyan, as a formal kinyan. So, Amalei Rav Huna LeRav Lo Yehi Ela B'Kiriv Sho Mitzvahs Delo Tama Maya B'Detama Maya. So the Gemara says, well, you're assuming that the ground is good and muddy. I'm not going to assume that. The Gemara says that in defense of Rav, we'll assume Tamu Maya, literally meaning the water has come to a conclusion. Basically, what the Gemara is saying now is the water is gone. And so the ground is dry. He slipped over whatever residue water was left, but the ground itself was still dry. And to that, now the Gemara is saying, under those circumstances, Rav will tell you, the pour of the water is only going to be liable for the dirtying of the clothes, but not for bodily damage. Now remember, by the way, Shmuel on all these points disagreed a couple of days ago. Shmuel said, no, you're going to be liable. Once you create a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim, you're going to be liable for the bodily damage that occurred. The Gemara over here doesn't quote Shmuel's position. I don't know why, to be fair and honest, but that was a machlokas we saw. V'tarti lamali. Okay, and now the Gemara here says, look, you know this idea of pouring water in the Rishus HaRabim? Second time we're learning this, and not only second time we're learning this, it's back-to-back Mishnayos. Meaning if you look back in the previous Mishnah, if we saw it in Chav Ches Amud Aleph, at the bottom of the Amud, Nishbar Kada B'Rishus HaRabim V'Huklak Echer B'Acher B'Mayim. So the Mishnah is describing where you drop the jug in the Rishus HaRabim, the jug breaks, there's water on the ground, and someone slips. And the previous Mishnah says, Yechayev. Our Mishnah makes essentially the same point. Why is there a need for both Mishnahs making essentially the same point? So the Gemara says one Mishnah is describing the summer months and the other one is describing the winter. Summer months, so there is no rain. The roads are dry and safe. In the winter months, a lot of rain. So all you're doing in the winter months is basically just adding water to water. There's already water on the ground. And now what that introduces us to is a really big chiddush, meaning that in the winter months when there's already water on the ground and all you're doing is adding more water, you're still going to be liable. And actually the chiddush is going to get even bigger. The Gemara goes on, Ditanya. Kol elu sh'amru potkin b'yibosehem v'gorfim ma'arosehem b'yamos ha'chama ein lehem rishos v'yamos ha'gshamim yesh lehem rishos. So we know that during the winter months we are allowed to open up our gutters and open up our pipes. Okay, in the good old days, so indoor plumbing was just a dream. I have so many puns these days. It was a pipe dream. So it's unbelievable. I'm on fire. Yeah. So indoor plumbing was a dream. So back then, when they had collections of water, so what did they do with it? So you have to be careful about how you get rid of your excess water. So in the winter months, you have permission, right? The zoning legislation allows you to discharge your water in the Rishos HaRabim during the winter months. And now what we're learning is really a big chiddush. Even though you have permission to do so, that doesn't exempt you from liability. Meaning, permission granted to do so, but beware. If somebody were to slip and fall on the water that you introduced in the Rishos HaRabim, even though you had every right to do so, you had permission to do so, but that doesn't excuse you from the liability. The Alpha P, the Gemara says it straight out. The Alpha P, Shur Rishos, Imiziku Chayav L'Shalim. And even though you had permission to do so, you're still going to be liable. We continue in the Mishnah. Now the statement of Rav Yochanan, we saw it already, but that was because on the previous Amud, we were trying to make a point with Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara is quoting the same statement of Rav Yochanan simply as an explanation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, you have a wall made up of thorns. So, and somebody bristles up against it. So, right, the Mishnah says you're going to be exempt. Lo shanu ela mafriya. The Mishnah says you're going to be liable. So, lo shanu, this is Rav Yochanan's comment. Lo shanu ela mafriya chaval mitzam sem lo. If you took the wall and recessed it into your property, so then you're going to be exempt. My time apater, Amar Rav Acha, Berei de Ravika, Lefishe, and Darkon Shabbani Adon, Leisra, Chek, Bixalim. Because generally speaking, when people walk, the nature of people is to not walk on the side of the road right up against somebody else's property line. But the assumption is that you walk more towards the center of the street. Tanu Rabban Amasiyas quotes itself, it's who yourself, the Toch Koso Shel Chavera. Interesting discussion coming up. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Let's say I have my friend's wall and there are holes in that wall. And you know what? I have sharp, hazardous items. Thorns, thistles, whatever. Glass shards, whatever. I bundle it up and I put it into his wall. Now, I know I should ask him his permission, and it'd be nice if he knew that I was using his wall. And interestingly enough, the Tosefta does not tell us whether you're allowed to, you're not allowed to. And that part needs clarification. I know. But But unbeknownst to him, now you stored all your hazards in his wall. Right? There were holes in the wall. And you stored the hazards in the wall. And then he didn't know they were there. And he turned down the wall. And now all the wonderful things you left in his wall now spilled into the Rishus Arabim. Viziko. Chayev Hamatznia. The one who put it there, so he's going to be liable. Now, this is extraordinarily intuitive. Meaning, the wall, the owner of the wall, had no idea that you deposited your hazards in his wall. And so, therefore, when he knocked down the wall and they fell into the Rishus Rabim, so you can't fault him for all that dangerous items in the Rishus Rabim because he didn't know. The person who put it there, he's going to be liable. That part's easy to understand. But then we get to Rav Yochanan's statement. And Rav Yochanan says, this is true only if the wall was dilapidated, where basically the expectation is that the wall was going to fall down. But if the wall was a healthy wall, so then the matznia, the one who put it there, is going to be pater v'chai balakosa, and the owner of the wall is going to be liable. So Amar Avina Zosa Merz Mechasa Bara B'dal Yosha Chavero Ova Bal Dili V'Nato Dili Chayav Bal Habor. So Ravina says now, if we worked with this thought process, so basically let's consider now an analogous situation in that, let's say there's a pit. I dug up the pit. And I use somebody else's utensil to cover the pit. So in other words, I go into my neighbor, I take an item that belongs to him, it's a nice fit, it fits over the pit, and so I'm covering my pit with somebody else's cover. And then bedel yosho chavero, literally a jug of somebody else. Hard to imagine how a jug serves as a cover. Okay, but the point doesn't matter. In other words, it's a good fit for the pit, but it doesn't belong to me. Uva bal deliv and atel delio. And so the guy now, who is the owner of the cover, says, "Why? Well, that's strange. What's my cover doing, using to cover somebody else's pit? I'll take it back." And he does so. Chayev bal habor. So the digger of the pit is going to be liable, even though he covered it. But he covered it with an item that doesn't belong to him. And so therefore, when the owner of the cover comes and takes back his cover, which he's rightfully allowed to do, so now the digger of the pit is going to be liable. Pshita, the Gemara says now, all this seems to be pretty obvious. Ma'u detema hasamu delo haviyada lei, delud e, avahacha diyada lei, hava lei leuduye, kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara says, I could see a simple difference between the cases which may have led to the following conclusion. When it comes to the pit, the guy who dug up the pit, using somebody else's cover to cover it up, so there he knew that the cover belonged to somebody else. In the case of when I'm storing my hazardous item in somebody else's wall, I didn't tell him I did that. And so the Gemara says I can see a very simple difference between the cases. So Kamashman, the Gemara says that the Chiddush is that the cases are therefore analogous with one another. And so therefore in both of those cases, there's going to be liability. Tan Rabban, Chasidim Rishon Hayu Masim Kutzosem V'Zechuchosem B'Soch Sadoseyem U'Ma'amikem Lehem Gimel Tfachim Kedei Shlo Yakev HaMachareisha. You have hazardous items. So you know what the Chasidim would do? So if people who were very careful and meticulous in terms of the performance of halacha, so they would take their thorns, shards of glass, and basically all hazardous items, and bury them in their own property, and one step even further. Not only bury them in their own property, but make sure that they would bury them more than 3 tefachim deep, so that when the plow goes over the land, so the plow doesn't get caught on these hazardous items. Rav Sheshe Shadilahu Benura, Rav Sheshe would burn all of his hazardous items. Rav Shadilah Bediglas, Rav would throw it into the Tigris River, which it sounds a little bit strange because, you know, then the river is going to take it downstream, and he's dumping his waste into the water. Okay, I have to assume, because the Gemara is saying it l'shvach, so I have to assume that what the Gemara means by that is, and then it's going to get washed away, and no one else is going to get injured. I'm struggling a little bit clearly because I don't understand why that's a good thing. Doesn't It's not necessarily a good thing, and the Gemara is making it out like it's a great thing. Anyway, the Gemara is just trying to simply string together various Amarayim who, when they had hazardous items, made sure to dispose of it correctly. Rav says, you're interested in becoming a chassid, so you don't have to learn Kabbalah. I know I'm embellishing a little bit. You don't have to learn Kabbalah. You don't have to do anything esoteric. You basically learn Baba Kama, and you learn about how to care for your hazardous items and proper disposal of your hazardous items, and you will become a chassid. Rav Amar Mila de Avos va'Amrila Mila de Brachos. And the Gemara notes that there are two other areas where, if you're interested in becoming a chassid, so you learn Mila de Avos, you learn Pirkei Avos, and you learn brachos, meaning how to make brachos on items. So if you invest in these items, so you're going to become a chassid. Okay, so one of the key lines of the Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Lamed, today's Daf, in terms of Chassidus comes about through just simply taking care of your items and not exposing your items as hazards to other people. Okay. We have a Mishnah. Let's continue. The Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Amotzi Tifna V'Kashlo Rishus HaRabim Lizavalim. So let's say you take out your straw and other natural items, organic items, and you put it onto the Rishus HaRabim so that it can become compost. Right, and before the daf, I did some crack research regarding the production of compost. I see my in-laws might like making compost, but they just take their peels and they throw it into a pail, and it just kind of decomposes. But back in the good old days, so you make compost by taking straw, hay, and other organic items, and you put it out into the street, and it's going to decompose out in the street. Now, the assumption the Gemara is going to make, we'll get to it in just a moment, we're still in the Mishnah, is that as it decomposes, it actually is going to grow in size. It's going to increase in size. As it, sits there on the ground, gets mushy, water, the earth, and so it's going to grow in size. So that's the assumption that we're going to make. Right now, we don't have to worry about that yet. Let's just right now focus on the Mishnah. V'huzik b'macher. Now, you left your compost right in the middle of the street. And somebody walks over, it slips and falls, and he hurts himself. Chayev b'nizko. So you had no business leaving out your compost in the street. It's a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim. It's bor b'Rishos HaRabim. And therefore, you, the one who left it out there, you're going to be liable. V'cholakot namem zacha. And then the Mishnah goes one step further. Let's say somebody else picks up the compost that you left in the street. Now you left it out to decompose. And then you plan on picking it up later. And the Mishnah says that if somebody else picks it up and takes it, good for him. He acquired it. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I would say that's true regarding anything which is damaging. Anything which is damaging, dangerous, and they leave it on the Rosh HaRabim, someone else picks it up. So first of all, damage done by it, you're liable. Two, anyone else picks it up, good for them. They acquired it. This last line of the Mishnah sounds familiar to us because we already analyzed it earlier this morning. And that is that if somebody sees dung in the public and he picks it up and he puts it back down again, he's going to be chayiv benizko. He's going to be liable for the damage done by the dung. Considering that, he picked it up, he had it in his hand, and now he put it back down again. Lema Masusin Delok Rav Yehuda Detanya. The Gemara says, now it certainly sounds like our mission is not going like Rav Yehuda, because we learned in the Brisa Rav Yehuda Omer B'Shaso Tzaz Valem Adam Motzi Zivlo L'Rishus Rabin B'Tzavar Kol Shoshim Yom Kidei Shehei Nishuf Beragle Adam Uveragle Behema Shamnas Kain Hinchel Yoshua Es Haaretz. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Yehuda. We're going to see it later in the Masechta as well. We came into Eretz Yisrael for the first time after 40 years out in the desert, and Yehoshua says we're going to have to live together. It's not easy to live together as a society. And so Rav Yehoshua established 10 institutions that were basically regulations of how are we going to get together as a society? How can we live together? And one of them is that there are going to be times during the year where you're going to be totally within your right to take fertilizer and put it out into the Rishus HaRabim. And what's going to happen is that people are going to walk on it, animals are going to walk on it, it's going to soften it, and basically it's going to improve it as a fertilizer. And when we came into Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua legislated that there are going to be certain times during the year when it's perfectly within your right to do so. And what Rav Yehuda teaches us in the Mishnah is that there's this 30-day window of where you're allowed to do so. And what the Gemara now is trying to figure out is that, is our Mishnah now against the opinion of Rav Yehuda? Maybe. But the Gemara says not necessarily. I feel it's him, Rav Yehuda. Modi Rav Yehuda, Shim Huzak Mashalim, Masha Huzak. Second time today we're being introduced to this idea. Maybe our Mishnah is in full agreement with Rav Yehuda. Maybe there is that 30-day window of opportunity where you're totally allowed to take your fertilizer, it's not even fertilizer yet, it's just raw dung, and put it out into the Rishos HaRabim. Yes, that's true. Even though you're permitted to do so, you're also going to be liable for any of the damages that it causes. Meaning, just because you're allowed to take hazards and bring them out to the Rishos HaRabim, like in the wintertime, you're allowed to take water out to the Rishos HaRabim. Over here, second example of the morning, you're allowed to take for a 30-day window, you're allowed to take your raw dung and put it out to the Rishos HaRabim as well. That's true. But at the same time, you're going to be liable for any damages. And the Gemara says, "Vatanan, Rav Yehuda Amar b'ner Chanukah patam im neshu b'rishus." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but we're also going to learn later in the Mishnah Baba Kama that if I on Chanukah light fire in front of my house, which I'm allowed to do and more than allowed, it's a mitzvah. So then, any subsequent damage that it causes, I'm going to be exempt. So my love mishum b'rishus based in." So the Gemara says, "Now, if I'm allowed to do it and I have an exemption, so how did you understand our discussion right now?" So the Gemara says, "Lo mishum rishus mitzvah." So the Gemara says, we're going to make the following distinction. There is permission and then there is a commandment. If I have permission to take something out to the Rishos HaRabim, like the fertilizer, like the water in the wintertime, so then fine, I have permission to take it out, but I'm also going to be liable. Masha Enke, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, it's not just permission, it's a commandment. Once I have a commandment to do so, so then there's going to be a full exemption from any subsequent damage. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braiser, Rav Yehuda Omer b'ner Chanukah patam reshu rishus mitzvah. And you see this language used in the Braiser of rishus mitzvah. Tashma kol elo sh'amra mutam l'kalka b'rishus rabim im iziku chayavim l'shalim. Rav Yehuda poter. So the Gemara here quotes a Braiser. Now this Braiser certainly is going to be hard to get out of, because the Braiser says that if you take anything which is damaging and put it out to the Rishos HaRabim, if somebody else gets damaged, they're going to be liable. You're going to be liable. And Rav Yehuda says you're going to be exempt. So now this is difficult, because here in the Braisa, it's the way Rav Yehuda is presented, he's arguing with the Tanakama. Am Rav Nachman Sisin Shlo B'Shas Osat Zvalim. So the Gemara says, fine. But it could very well be that the Braisa that we just quoted is talking about when you didn't have permission to do so. Sorry, the Mishnah is talking about where you didn't have permission to do so. So I'm Rav Nachman, assistant Shlomo Shasso Tzvalim, Rav Yehuda. You didn't have permission to do so, and that's how our Mishnah can be going in line with Rav Yehuda. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi is of the opinion, Tivna Vekasho Tanan Mishum Dim Misharke. Or maybe what you could say is that our Mishnah is speaking specifically about straw. The straw you're going to be liable for because it hasn't yet softened. Look at the top Rashi on Laman Amid Beis. Rashi writes, Tivna Vekasho Tanan Dim Mechayv Da'adain Lo Nasu Zevel Vekashim Haim. They haven't yet become fertilizer. They're still very hard. Umachlikin bahem. People are going to slip on them. V'chikam Rav Yehuda b'zevel kamer demotzi adam zivlo she'ino noach lahachlik kol kach. Zevel, on the other hand, fertilizer, is not going to be as hard and slippery. And so therefore, that maybe we can make that distinction. Where Rav Yehuda is in agreement with our Mishnah says someone slips and falls, we're talking about putting out very slippery, hard straw into the Rishos HaRabim. And maybe that's the distinction between Rav Yehuda and our Mishnah, and Rav Yehuda is not necessarily going against our Mishnah.
Once you put it in the dry and then drain it, it became slippery afterwards. So that's your idea.
That's, I mean, that's Tchilaso be'ones or Sofa be'pshia. Maybe. Okay. Kol HaKodem Zacha Behem. Kol HaKodem Behem Zacha. We are now looking at the next line of the Mishnah. You put out your fertilizer into the Rishos HaRabim, or you put out your compost into the Rishos HaRabim. So, A, the Mishnah told us that you're going to be liable for any subsequent damage. Someone slips on it and falls, you're going to be liable. B, someone picks it up and walks away with it, good for him. He's Zoche. So, Amarav, Bein Begufan, Bein Beshivchan. Now, Rav says like this. Now, again, this goes back to my crack research before the shiur began. The Gemara now is assuming that when you leave compost out in the Rishos HaRabim and you're putting it down on the ground, it's going to grow. Maybe because of the rain that's introduced to it, maybe because of the earth that's introduced to it.
What if it scatters?
Again, I'm not sure. I just don't know. I don't know the reality well enough to understand this. But the Gemara is assuming that it's going to grow in size. And so now, let's just work with that assumption. And so now with that stated, so here basically becomes the following issue. It's your compost. Now you put it on the Rishos HaRabim and you shouldn't have done that. And you're going to be liable for the damages. But it's yours. So how do we understand the Mishnah when the Mishnah says somebody else can just simply pick it up and take it? It's not his, it's yours. So, that's the question, and you'll see this in terms of how the Amorayim deal with the Mishnah. Amarav bein begufan bein beshivchan. Rav says, somebody else can come and take it, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about the principal compost that you left out, or the subsequent growth that occurs afterwards. Meaning, someone is allowed to come and take all of it. That's Rav's position. Ziri Amar b'shivchan avala begufan. Now Ziri says, no, the original compost that you left out, that nobody can take because that's yours. Again, you shouldn't have done it, and you're liable for all damages, but it's yours, so no one else can take it. And in terms of the Mishnah, Ziri says, well, the Mishnah only allows for only the subsequent growth. That's what people are entitled to. Gomar goes on to explain. Now over here, it's certainly a kanas, meaning the rabbis were so unhappy with you that you left your compost out in the Rishos HaRabim. You shouldn't have done it. And so certainly there's going to be a kanas, there's going to be a fine imposed upon you. And part of that kanas is going to be people can come and take it. What is the kanas going to be including? The Gemara says that's the machlokes between Rav and Ze'iri. Rav says the kanas is on everything. The original compost you left out and the subsequent growth. And Ze'iri says, no, it's only going on the growth. Tanan. The Gemara says, let's look back at our Mishnah. You leave out not compost, but actual fertile manure in the Rishos HaRabim, and someone else slips and falls, so you're going to be liable. V'ilu kol hakodem zacha lo ketani. Now, did you notice in the Mishnah, it didn't mention how someone can walk away with your manure? That's interesting. Meaning, on the compost, someone wants to take it, that's fine. But when the Mishnah discussed the manure, so you're going to be liable, but the Mishnah doesn't mention someone else can walk away with it. So, if you are Rav, that's really difficult. Meaning, what did Rav say? Rav says, you leave out Hazar in the Rishos HaRabim, Chachamim weren't happy with you, Kenas, someone else can take it. So what difference should it make if it's compost or if it's manure? So Tana L'Reisha V'Uadin L'Seifa. So the Gemara is now going to try to argue, well, once the Mishnah said in the first case, then we understand that it applies to the second case of the Mishnah as well. V'Hatani Allah, the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to show you a Braisa. Asur Mishum Gezo. The Braisa says you're not allowed to take the manure. Ki Ketani Asur Mishum Gezo, Akula Masitzen Kai, La'osur Shekanah V'Zacha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? I know the Braisa. Maybe what the Braisa is saying is that once somebody takes it, it actually belongs to him. And no one else is allowed to take it from him, meaning the one who picked it up. V'halo ketani hachi, dinan. The Gemara says, okay. But again, that's hard to defend. Consider the following Mishnah. Hamosi tivna v'kasha l'rishos harabim. If you take out straw and move it into the Rishos HaRabim, lizvalim, in order to make compost out of it, v'uzeb v'amacher chay v'nizko, v'chol akodem emzacha. Umutar mishum gezel. you're allowed to take it. In other words, someone else is allowed to take it. However, when it comes to manure in the Rishus HaRabim, someone else gets damaged on it, so you're going to be liable. And Aser Mishum Gezel, someone else is not allowed to come and take it. So in the Braisa, clearly there's a distinction between the decomposing compost, where someone else is allowed to take, and the manure that someone else is not allowed to take. So now the Braisa says it very clearly. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Galo Karamis, Davishesh Bo Shevach, Kansu Gufo Mishum Shvacha, Davishesh Bo Shevach Lo Kansu. So the Gemara says, here's how to understand the distinction. You see, when you leave manure out in the Rishus HaRabim, it's not going to grow, it's not going to increase, it's not going to improve the situation. It was already manure. So therefore, the rabbis did not feel that there's any reason that they should make a kenas. But when it comes to compost, there is motivation for people to leave it out in the street. Because when you put your compost out in the street, it's going to grow in size, it's going to improve. So therefore, people are motivated to do so. So the Chachamim therefore felt that in order to incentivize people not to do this, so they're going to slap a knas on the person who leaves that compost. And so therefore the Chachamim said, look, what you did was wrong, and I understand that you're motivated to do so. So we're going to ban you from doing so, and in fact, we're going to go further than that. We're not going to ban you from doing so. The Torah already banned you from doing so. The Torah already told you you're not allowed to put hazards in the Rishus HaRabim. But we're going to allow anyone who wants to come and take, that they're going to have every right to take. And that's going to hopefully be a way of incentivizing you not to do that anymore. It'll be like a punishment. When it comes to the fertilizer, the manure, the Chachamim didn't feel as motivated. Because there's no real push for people to leave it out there in the street. And so therefore, when it comes to the compost decomposing, so the Chachamim said, someone wants to come and take it, fine. When it comes to the manure that someone leaves out in the street, so you have no right to go and take it. The Gemara says that's the difference between the two cases, and therefore we could defend Rav's position. Let's quickly recap. What we discussed today is if you leave hazards out in the Rishus HaRabim and declare them to be ownerless, are you going to be liable? The answer is yes, you are. Even though it's a machlok between Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, and after the end of yesterday's daf, we just kind of straightened out the shitas, and now we know that Rav Yochanan says that you're going to be liable, and that's the halacha. Even though you declared it to be ownerless, you're still going to be liable for any subsequent damage that occurs. Spilling water onto the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be chayev. Using somebody else's wall as a safeguard for your thorns and all your dangerous items. So if the wall ends up falling down, you're going to be liable. So this is what we started on the first half of today's daf. Then interesting discussions of I'm covering my hazards with someone else's property, and he comes and he takes back his property. So I'm the one who's going to be liable, even though I cover the item. And then the Gemara's classic line of, if you want to be a chassid, you have to learn Seder Nezikin in order to learn how to be a chassid. And then leaving out your zevel, your compost in the Rishus HaRabim, you shouldn't do that. You're going to have liability if you do so. And the Chachamim slapped a ban on you. In that, somebody else is allowed to just simply come and take it. How much of it they're allowed to take? It's a machlokas amarayim. But the halacha is like Rav, which is that somebody else is allowed to take all of it. That's the kenas that the Chachamim imposed on you on leaving out your compost into the street. However, if you leave manure onto the street, the Chachamim, you're going to be liable for any damage that has occurred, but the Chachamim did not slap a ban on you, and that no one can come along and can take it.